Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything. We are so blessed in the church life. We can hear all these things and to know the knowledge of Him and to fill with the Spirit so we can know what the destiny we are. So I'm really blessed to hear this word, right? I enjoy say Christ is everything in the New Testament. Because we just have a training from the Deuteronomy. In New Testament, we look at God is so mystery and abstract. We don't know. But through the picture, show us He's everything. In that all-inclusive land, they lack nothing. They have everything. we see so bright. We can see this picture through the Deuteronomy 8:7-9. Lack nothing, even the pentagram, who are life, and Christ is alive. Oh, so we don't need anything in this world. This world is all things is passed away. Only Christ remains forever. So I just feel we're so blessed here. So don't stop the church life. You have to come. The Lord is coming back soon. So we have to encourage one another. It's nothing else in the world to fill our heart. Only God can fill us. In Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwells Christ all in all, the God body, all in Him, everything in Christ. And where is Christ in the Bible? You have to read the Bible every day. The Bible show you everything is in Christ. And if you don't know the knowledge of the Christ, you have to come to church meeting. And the church meeting is take us on, going on to meet the Lord. If you miss the meeting, you will lack it. Something. But if you don't miss the meaning, you will feel everything. So we just prepare for the Lord to welcome Him come back. We want pursue for the overcomer to hasten the Lord back. Praise the Lord. We so enjoy Him this meeting.
Himself might have the first place in all things. But the way I was touched was that He would have the first place in my things.
Yeah.
Because all things is a little bit abstract. But what about all of my things?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, when the brothers were sharing this morning, I was and Israel was talking about, you know, just our decisions and the things we do. I was just thinking, in this day and age, when we make a decision, there's so many, it's so easy to have many different considerations. And I was thinking, not too long ago, I was needed to buy a pair of shoes for my son. And so when I was buying this pair of shoes, wanted to buy a pair of shoes for him, what did I do? I went online, you go to this site and that site, and you read the reviews, and you try to compare prices, and there's so many things going into our decisions.
Yeah.
But as we do that, our brother was saying, and I think many of us have had this experience, there's no life there. There's no Christ there. There's just me and all of these different considerations, most of which aren't really that important. But what's important is that through these things, we would gain Christ,
yes.
Right? And so whether we read the reviews, don't read the reviews, as we're reading them, read them with the Lord. And when He says enough, then you say, amen, enough. And when our brother Peter was sharing, you know, that these, even our Lord would go through, would wipe our tears, would take us through all these different different experiences. I was reminded of this hymn, number 575 in our hymn book. Mm-hmm. It says, I take thy promise, Lord, in all its length and breadth and fullness as my daily strength. And into life's future, fearless I may gaze, for Savior, thou art with me all the days. And then it talks about different kinds of days, right? It talks about days that are filled with change, days that are full of darkness, days that are full of joy. But I was very much touched at the end. It says, all the other days that make my life, marked by no special joy or grief or strife. No, nothing special. This is most of our days. Right, most of our days aren't really joyful or really dark. Most of our days are just days. It says, days filled with quiet duties, trivial cares, burdens too small for other hearts to share. And the prayer is this, spend thou these days with me.
Right.
That all of our days, you know, whether they're big days or small days, whether they're just days filled with, you know, buying shoes for your son, that these days would be in Christ and with Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. My wife kept pushing me to come up, so. I enjoyed when Peter was sharing, like how the old creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I was touched by just the waiting, you know, like, you know, I imagine like everything's just waiting for, you know, the church, you know. And that gave me a sense of like, you know, kind of like that touched me and how, you know, the Lord is kind of waiting for us to, you know, to express him and to gain more of him. And, also, I was touched with like how things, I feel also that, the old creation's kind of accelerating in these days towards the end. And I guess, you know, just the urgency for all of the saints to, including myself. I was thinking about myself too, like how, you know, probably sometimes we get in like cruise control in our lives and we just, you know, but we don't have a sense of like God's purpose, like, or the urgency of it. And, so I just felt that, you know, there's many, like, the brother sharing, like, there's many considerations in our life, but, you know, all that matters is Christ, you know, all that matters is God's purpose, and that we should keep that focus and to express the Lord. Amen.
I was confessing to Brother Doug last week that I don't like silences. I don't let them, so here I am standing up, sorry. But this is going to seem a little disjointed. I was very, very touched when our brother shared that that simplicity expresses the Lord, that the Lord is simple. And I think that the Lord had once shared that with me, and this was confirmation that the Lord had once shared that with me, because it seems to me sometimes that we do complicate things, and especially in our faith, that we tend to find a confidence, I would say, in the more complicated things are. You know, that's just a human thing, that, you know, if there are things that we are to do and if we fulfill them, then we're okay, you know, and we've made it complicated and then we find our confidence in that. But actually, there is no confidence in that. There's only confidence in the Lord, right? That what the Lord did for us and that we believe that the Lord did it for us. I was driving back from the food store this past week, and there was a car parked at the side. It was a busy street, so I couldn't stop, but it had writing on it. So I slowed down so I could read it. I thought, what's, you know, something written on the side? And it said something to this effect, because I couldn't read it exactly, that whatever work you're doing, you're going to continue it in heaven, or something to that effect. So I turned off the street, and I was, you know, wending my way home, and I said, Lord, I can't possibly agree with that. I said, if I'm digging ditches, do I need to dig ditches in heaven? I said, even if I'm doing something amazing, like, you know, nuclear physics, do I need to do that in heaven? And I felt that the Lord said, no. You know, all of that has been fulfilled in heaven. We don't need to do these things. I said, so what work, what, I said, so is it wrong? And he said, no. And I said, well, what, how could that not be wrong? And then he said, always rejoice, unceasingly pray, and in everything give thanks. So I thought, oh, that's our work. You know, that's the work that we're really doing. In other words, the work that we do from 9 to 5 is not really, we have this concept that we are our work. You know, somebody says, you know, tell me something about you. We tend to say what our occupation is. That's just our occupation. That's not who we are. So our work, the work for God, you know, the work is actually the rejoicing and the praying and the thanksgiving. And this is the thing that we are to do. And yes, that does continue in heaven. So then I asked, I said, well, do we still have to obey you in heaven? Or is that just sort of, you know, taken care of? And if we do, is it easier? Because I find it very hard to you know, maybe it'll be easier. So then, this is so funny. It was a windy day, and there was this big garbage can in the middle of this street. So it was a big street, so I was able to drive around it. And he said, you know, stop and pull it over to the side. And so I think that's what he said, you know. And I thought, and I don't really want to do that, you know. So I kept driving. And it just kept, so then I had to turn around, and then I dragged the thing over to the, and then I said, but I don't know where it goes. And then I saw that it matched this garbage can, so it was a twin, so I brought it there and got back. And I had to laugh, you know, because he was showing me that obedience, it really, even in easy things, is not easy, but it was very much fun to do that. And then as I went home, there was another garbage can that was starting. I said, do I have to straighten that one up too? He said, no, you're not on the garbage can detail. It's just that, you know, that one's okay. That one, no one's going to get hurt from that one. So it's okay. You know, we just have to, you know, I don't know what this has to do with anything, but the Lord just wanted me to share that, you know, we're going somewhere, and we're being prepared, and we have an assignment, and the assignment is our life, and maybe we're the ditch digger, and maybe we're the nuclear physicist, or maybe most of us are somewhere in between, but it doesn't really matter, because that's temporary. You know, it's the rejoicing where we find him. Amen.
You know, Gail doesn't like silence, you know, but God says, be still and know that I am God, right? In quietness and rest, right? We don't like quiet because we like to be busy.
Yeah.
We like noise. We think that that's what God wants. You know, if I'm busy, whatever. But, you know, I was touched by this verse in day 5. It says, as the indwelling one, he is waiting for the opportunity to live in us. He is living, real, practical, and available. That's kind of all the things that a mystery is not. Right?
Right.
He's mysterious, but he's living, what is it? Real, practical, and available. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For such a living one,
right.
For such a practical one, for such an available one.
Amen.
If you want to know the will of God, you have to have someone who's living, real, practical, and available.
Yeah.
And he is.
Amen.
Along this line, I've been enjoying some verses recently. You know, I've been passing through some things that are not pleasant, trying. But one of the verses that's been touching me is that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And, you know, I was having some fellowship with my daughter, and she said, you know, we've read that verse so many times about thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But she says, what is that? What does that mean? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I have to say, I mean, you know, I've had that picture for so many years of the shepherd with that stick with the hook on the end, you know. But I have to say, I didn't know how to explain that to her, you know. But then as the weeks went on, I was reading something and something touched me, and this brother shared that he would go to with his family to the country, and they would go on these long walks. And whenever they would go on a walk, they would go to the closet, and they had a collection of walking sticks. And so everyone would choose a walking stick, mm-hmm. right? And this was their staff. A staff is a walking stick. Mm-hmm. And a staff is, you know, you have a walking stick so that you can lean on it, so that you can find your way. And so what he shared was that the staff is the word of God. And he shared how many times in different circumstances it was the word of God that he leaned on, you know, that helped him to walk through this life. So I just feel, Lord, you know, even with this matter of being so practical, like Isaac shared, you know, during our days there are all the other days that actually all those other days comprise most of our life. And all those little daily things, we need to lean on something. We need to help him to walk through those things. So, you know, that verse comes to me, trust in the Lord.
Right.
In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. This is the staff that we need to lean on. When we are trying to make a decision, when you're trying to do something, lean not to your own understanding. Don't lean to the reviews. You know, when you're trying to buy something. I went through this recently. I was trying to buy something, and I clicked on the reviews. It says 45 reviews. And I have to say, after I read through them, there were about 15 for and about 15 against. So what difference does it make what the reviews say? You know, someone had a wonderful experience with this thing, and someone said, don't buy that thing, that thing's trash. So now what do? Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Lord, what do you want? Shall I even bother with this? We just need to give it to him, right? This will comfort us. He is real. He is living. He is practical. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for the staff.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I was touched with Colossians 1:9-10 this week. Verse 10. Says to walk worthily of the Lord, to please him in all things, bearing fruit and growing in bearing fruit in every good work, and growing by the full knowledge of God. And in the outline for this week, it's very small portion. This is in day three. Day three, it says, walking worthily of the Lord issues from having the full knowledge of God's will. Such a walk is one in which we live Christ. And then we need to stand fully mature and fully assured in all the will of God. That's Colossians 4:12. And these verses struck me this week, and we were and we've had a little fellowship in the seniors meeting about these verses. These two verses talk about prayer. Paul and all of the ones serving with him in verse 9 were praying for all the saints in Colossae that they would be filled with the full knowledge of his will. And then verse 10, to walk worthily of the Lord. And I think this is a very practical point, because what the saints have enjoyed and the sharing this morning talked a lot about, you know, we need to learn to follow the Lord and to listen to the Lord's leading in all our decisions. How do we make these things? We want to follow him, right? We want to walk worthily of the Lord. Well, the prerequisite for that is to be filled with the full knowledge of his will. And I just felt, and I mentioned this to the senior group on Wednesday morning, that we need to pray more for the saints. In the prayer meetings, we need to pray more for the saints. In our twos and threes, in our family life, we should pray more for the saints. That we would, and not just for little things or, you know, I mean, there are many practical matters we can pray, but especially to pray that the saints would be filled with the full knowledge of God's will. And I feel that has a lot to do with getting into the Word and spending time with one another, having fellowship about the Lord's will and his purpose. But anyway, if we have this kind of revelation, then that's the prerequisite of how to walk worthily. Then we will have more opportunity to know what the Lord wants in this situation. You know, as the saints were sharing this morning, I was reminded, I had several decisions to make this week. And, you know, it's so true. We go to this, we go to that, we think practically, how is this going to work out? Eventually, I just started to pray, Lord, what do you want to do? And when do you want to do it? Because it involved, it involved scheduling something and which thing to do first, second, and so forth. You know, I spent a couple of days I just didn't want to make the decision yet. I just asked the Lord and prayed. And eventually, it just became clear. The Lord just said, how about this? And I felt good about this. And then, so, you know, the decision was made. Not a big decision. It's not a major thing. But it's good to walk worthily of the Lord and to follow him and not, as our sister mentioned, to lean on our own understanding. You know, it's the internet is a very useful thing, but I think my experience is the same. Half the reviews are good, half the reviews are bad. So what does that mean? That means you don't believe everything you read. That's what that means, because it's not always true. Anyway, this is true, and we can believe this. So let's read the Bible more and trust in the Lord more. Amen. We'll close the meeting here. Be sure to pick up your morning watch sheets. Amen.